Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to 2 Peter chapter 3. Go towards the end of the New Testament. If you get a little before Jude and Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you'll see 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, if you're old enough to remember 20 years ago yesterday, you probably remember it like it was yesterday, don't you? I know I do. You know, the tragic events of 9/11, they changed our country. No one would argue with that. They changed our lives. And what I struggle to consider, I was thinking about this past week, I struggle to think, how would I have processed all of what happened in 9/11? I was just out of college. I was working for the Salvation Army up in the Twin Cities. And I remember so many details of that day, more than I remember details of days that just were a couple weeks ago. But I think, how would I have processed all of that happened if I did not know Jesus? Where would I have placed my hope? I remember riding my bike home. Actually, I rode my bike to work because I didn't work very far from where I lived. And I remember riding my bike home that evening and just seeing the lines down the street of cars wanting to get gas, and gas was like $4.50 a gallon, something crazy like that. And I just remember just thinking, oh my, what is going on? You know, I just remember but yet I did know Jesus. And I think, though, if I didn't know Jesus, you know, what would I have believed in that moment? Just something that I never could have imagined. What would I have believed about the sovereignty of God if I didn't know Christ? What would I have even thought about God in that moment? And maybe some of you can think back, and maybe it was before you were a follower of Christ, but you remember, and maybe you can think about some of the emotions you were feeling. But I praise God that about 3 years before 9/11, He opened my mind. He opened my heart to turn to Him for salvation when I was in college. And I trust now that I can endure difficulty with hope and with peace, not because I'm strong enough, because I'm not, but because I know the only one who is. And I have, because of that, the grace from God to endure. The grace from God to endure, and that's the reality for all who have a relationship with Christ. You have the grace from God to endure the ups and downs that sometimes can just be so overwhelming. And we read about that here in 2 Peter chapter 3, the grace to endure. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Dear friends, this is now the second letter I've written you. In both, I awaken your pure understanding with a reminder, so that you can remember the words previously spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of our Lord and Savior given through your apostles. First, be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days to scoff, following their own lusts, saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have been since the beginning of creation.' They will willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth existed out of water and through water by the word of God." In other words, he just spoke and created the world. We've just been reading about that in family groups. "Through these, the world of that time perished when it was flooded by water in the days of Noah. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are held in store for fire, being kept until the day of judgment," which is when Jesus returns, "and destruction of ungodly men. Dear friends, don't let this one thing escape you. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day." In other words, God is not bound by time like you and I are. "The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved in the earth, and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct, in godliness, as you wait and earnestly desire the coming of the day of God." Now, wait a second. What does he mean there? The coming of the day of God. Remember chapter 1, verse 1? Here we have it again. What an amazing statement of the deity of Christ, the fact that Jesus is God. Because who's coming back to judge the living and the dead? Jesus Christ is coming back in the flesh. And here he talks about the coming of God. Remember, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Jesus is Lord. Because of which the heavens will be on fire and be dissolved, and the elements will melt with the heat. But based on his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell. Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found in peace without spot or blemish before him. Also, regard the patience of our Lord as an opportunity for salvation, just as our dear brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. He speaks about these things in all his letters, in which there are some matters that are hard to understand. The untaught and unstable twist them to their own destruction, as they also do with the rest of the scriptures. Notice there he said that what Paul has written, these letters in the New Testament from Paul, they're the scriptures, right? It's the word of God, the Bible. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you are not led away by the error of the immoral and fall from your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Father, that's our prayer this morning, that you would receive all the glory. Father, receive the glory in our hearts as we think about this. Receive the glory in our minds as we contemplate how should we respond. Receive the glory in our lives as we do respond and as you compel us to turn from sin and follow you with all of our hearts. Father, let us not leave this room unchanged, but we pray for wisdom to understand the truth of your word and how it applies to our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we've gone through the first two chapters in this short letter, we've talked about how we need the grace of God to grow in our faith. We need his grace even to believe, even to trust in the Lord Jesus. We need God's grace. We need his help. And we need his grace to know him, to have a right relationship with him. Remember, as we talked about last week, according to the truth of his word. Because if we claim to know God, but not according to who he is, according to his word, then we've just really made a false God. And so we have to know him according to the truth of his word. And so today I want us to look at the grace to endure. We need God's help. We need God's grace to endure until the end. By ourselves, we'll fail. Every single one of us, we will fail apart from God's grace. By God's grace, we'll endure if we know him, if we believe in him, and if we follow him and grow in him, then we will endure. That's the reality for those who truly know him. And so my purpose in the message this morning is that you will wait for Jesus' return with growing hope and faith. Often what happens when we wait for something? We lose faith, right? We lose hope when you wait, when you have to wait and wait. You tend to, as the longer you wait, the more you lose faith, the more you lose hope in whatever it is you're waiting for. But that's not how it is for those who know and follow Jesus. You see, as we wait for Jesus and if we're really trusting in him and we're growing in our relationship with him by his grace, then we actually grow in our faith in him and we actually grow in the hope that we have in him. This is what happens for genuine followers of Christ. And so I want us to consider four ways that genuine Christ followers endure with the word of God. How do we endure as we depend on and know the word of God? Those who endure, Jesus said, to the end, will be saved. Those who endure prove their faith to be real. And so this is how a genuine Christian endures. The first thing I want you to see, if you're taking notes, and we see it in the first seven verses, we have to endure opposition. Notice I said that with the kind of the proposition here is on your outline, genuine Christ followers endure what? With the word. Right? With the word. So I was going to, when I was working on this week, I thought about having every statement say with the word. So in other words, endure opposition with the word. Because with the word, really, it's in his word, it's by his word, it's according to his word that we endure. In other words, we don't come up with some strategy in our own. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's his word that tells us how to endure opposition. God has preserved his word, and we need his word. Why all the reminders, as Peter says here at the beginning of the chapter? Because remember, deception, as we talked about last week, deception is widespread. There's all kinds of false teaching. There's all kinds of people out there that are saying, do this or think this or do this or believe this. And there's all kinds of false teaching. The way you endure opposition, and really the way you endure every difficulty in this life, is with the Word of God. Knowing and following the Word of God. That's what verse 2 is talking about, by the way, the Word of God, because the Bible, think about it, the prophets of old, what's that? That's talking about the Old Testament. The apostles of Jesus' time, what's that talking about? That's talking about the New Testament. And so endure with the Word of God, endure with the Word of God's promise, endure with the Word of God's judgment, endure with the Word of God's victory. Endure opposition with the Word. The scoffers and unbelievers in verses 3 and 4, they don't believe in, they don't care about, or even maybe perhaps think about Jesus' return. And this is one of multiple reasons that they don't live according to his word. If they really believed, yes, Jesus could come at any moment and he could judge me for my sin, or I could die at any moment and be judged for my sin, then they would live differently. If they knew and believed that he was coming again, they would be compelled to live differently. So, of course, the question that has to start for all of us is, do you know and believe that Jesus is coming again? Are you living accordingly? Don't be like the people in the time of Noah, because what were the people in the time of Noah doing that Peter alludes to here in this chapter? They were living in rebellion to God's word all the way until it was too late. Even as Noah built the big boat and he started preaching and saying that they had to turn from their sin, they kept living the way they wanted to live until it was too late and they were destroyed forever. It won't happen with water next time. It'll happen with fire, as Peter talks about here. And if you know the Lord, you will endure opposition. You'll endure those who will oppose the Word of God by living according to the Word of God. That's how we endure. We look to his word and we follow his word. Mockers, look what he says. I mean, mockers are going to mock. The opposition is going to oppose. We endure this opposition by following the word. When I was reading this and it says, you know, mockers will mock, it made me think of that phrase, you know that phrase, haters going to hate, right? Who came up with that phrase? Anybody know? How was it made popular recently? Huh? Okay, so Katie knows the real answer. It was made popular recently, right, by the Taylor Swift song, Shake It Off. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing that for you. I'm certainly not going to dance. But yeah, Katie's right. It actually came to being, and I remember this when I was a kid. It was a popular phrase in hip-hop music in the early 90s. And it was actually Cypress Hill, which was a rap, and I don't recommend that you listen to Cypress Hill, so this isn't an endorsement of them. But when I was a kid, I did listen to Cypress Hill. I was not a follower of Jesus. And I don't think my parents knew I listened to Cypress Hill, but I found ways to listen. But they came up with this phrase, haters gonna hate. But I was thinking about that as I was reading this verse. Think about that phrase for a minute, because there's actually a lot of truth to it. You see, what's the phrase mean? It's talking about that criticism so often is not really about the person or the thing being criticized and opposed. It's about those who are doing the criticizing. It's about those who are opposing. And that's really what it comes down to with those who oppose God's word. Think about this. It's not about the problem with God's word. They don't oppose it because there's a problem with God's word. You see, what happens is it's about the problem of sinners. It's the problem of sin, the problem of us when we want to do anything against the word of God. It's not because the word of God has a problem. It's because we have a problem. And so when we oppose the word of God, it's mockers going to mock, haters going to hate. That's just what happens when we oppose the word of God. And so what does that mean for us if we want to endure that opposition, if we want to endure that mocking, if we want to endure those who oppose the word of God? We don't focus on the opposition. We don't focus on the criticism. We don't focus on what people are saying. We focus on the word of God. Focus on the word of God. Genuine Christ followers endure opposition with the word of God. Secondly, then, and we see this in verses 8 through 13, endure with assurance. Again, with the word of God, right? How do we have assurance? Because the word of God calls us to have assurance. Be assured of God's sovereignty. Be assured of God's power. Be assured of God's patience, God's faithfulness, God's love. All of these things and so much more are taught in the Word of God to remind us of why we can have assurance. You see, if you are assured of these things, how much easier is it to endure when you have assurance? Right? Endurance is certain when we truly know and follow Jesus because we're assured of who he is according to his word. Because we're assured of what he did according to his word. Because we're assured of what he will do according to his word. And so if you know the Lord, you're going to endure with assurance. If you do not know the Lord, you're always going to wonder, what's next? What's next? What can I hope in? You won't be ready for his return. You won't be ready for eternity. God's desire for you, which does not contradict his election in his sovereignty, by the way, when we look at verse 9, God's desire for you is that you be saved from your sins. Remember, though, God is sovereign. God chooses us out of our sin, but we are still responsible. We are responsible to turn from sin, to turn to him. His delay, as Peter is making the point here, his delay in returning is for you. It's for you. Repent, and if you do, you will endure with assurance. I read a story recently about a girl named Evelyn. She's a teenager living in Indonesia, and a few years ago, Muslim terrorists bombed her family's church that she's a part of. She was injured in the bomb, and two of her cousins were killed. And Evelyn shares the story about how through all of this, her aunt Wenny, who lost two of her children in this church bombing, she's been faithful to trust God. She's depended on his grace in order to forgive those who bombed the church and killed two of her children. She faithfully shares her testimony with others in Indonesia. She's encouraged a lot of churches to endure the difficulty that you and I can barely imagine, right? Endure why? Because of the assurance that she has experienced in and through Christ and as is promised in the Word of God. Genuine Christ followers endure opposition with the Word of God and endure with assurance. And so thirdly, I want you to see in verses 14 through 16, endure seeking peace. While we endure, we need to seek peace. And what's he talking about there? This is talking about peace with God and peace with others. Peace involves holiness, he says. Holiness, being different than the world, growing closer to Jesus. That's what discipleship is, isn't it? Right? Discipleship, that's what the without spot or blemish before him that verse 14 is talking about. Peace involves reconciliation. Right? Again, with God and with others, that reconciliation. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in the New Testament, especially as it relates to what we're called to do in ministry, all of us as believers, is 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. And I want to read through this, and I want you to notice, think about that, what it means to pursue peace. So as we endure the troubles of this life, and while we endure, we seek peace. That's part of the evidence that we're enduring is we're seeking peace with God, that we would have a right relationship with God, and we want peace for others, that they would have a right relationship with God. Listen to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what it means to pursue peace. Please see that. To be found at peace is to be reconciled to God and to plead with others, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. It's the only way. And then the beautiful picture of the gospel in verse 21. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see what that's saying? That even though we're sinners, we can be counted as if we're perfect when we trust in Christ because he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus, he hasn't returned yet. So there's still time, but that time is now. That's why the passage goes on to say, just the very next verse goes into chapter 6, working together with him, we also appeal to you, don't receive God's grace in vain. That grace that we've been reading about in 2 Peter, the free gift of God, don't receive it in vain. Don't receive God's grace in vain. For he says, verse 2, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. This afternoon is not promised. And so endure. If you're a believer, seek peace. Seek peace. Endure. Seek peace with God. Seek peace with others. Seek peace for others. As verse 15 says, God's patience in not returning is an opportunity for salvation. Have you ever thought about that? The reason Jesus hasn't returned yet is so that more people will be saved. Why hasn't he come back? Look at the world, it's a mess. Well, as soon as he comes back, that's it. That's it. Just like as soon as your life ends, if he hasn't yet come back, that's it. And so if you're still breathing right now, and as far as I can tell, everyone in this room is breathing, if you're still breathing, it's not too late to turn to the Lord, but you have to do so, as 2 Corinthians 6 says, and as Peter is imploring the people here, do so now. People continue to twist the truth of God's word, which verse 16 points out. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe it when people pick and choose parts of the Word of God and they twist it and try to make it sound different, or they create a false religion, or they want you to do something else. And they say, oh, it's okay. If it makes you happy, you can live this way. Or it's okay. You don't have to follow God with all your heart. Or, oh, it's okay. No, don't let people trick you and deceive you. Don't believe the lies. Believe the word. Believe the word and endure by being right with God, and by, as a result of being right with God, desiring to be right with his church, to pursue that peace with God and with one another. This is why communion, the Lord's Supper, is so important. It's our opportunity. Think about when we take communion later this morning. This is your opportunity and my opportunity to check ourselves. Right? To make sure that we are enduring by seeking peace. Make sure that you're right with God. Make sure that you're right with one another in his church. And if not, it's your opportunity to repent right now, to repent. Because a repentance happens right here. It has to start right here. And so we ask God to forgive us. Maybe we need to forgive someone else. Maybe we need to go ask someone for forgiveness. But whatever it is, right now, check yourself and make sure that you're not going through the motions. Because genuine Christ followers endure opposition with the word. We ought to endure with assurance, and we need to endure while we seek peace. Fourthly, then, and we see this in verses 17 and 18, endure in the truth. You see, it all circles back around what? To the word of God. See how verse 18, if you look at verse 18, it forms a bookend with chapter 1, verse 2. Look at chapter 1, verse 2 again. May the grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So that's verse chapter 1, verse 2. Then you go to the very end of the book, and he has a bookend. He kind of puts it all, he's circling all back around right here to this. Because what's he say? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That sounds similar, doesn't it? He's repeating it. And how do we have this knowledge of Jesus? When he says, how do you grow? Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. How? By the truth of his word. That's how we know what the knowledge of Jesus Christ is. And so be on your guard, he says, or you're going to be deceived by the errors and the false teachings and the immorality of the world around us if you're not on your guard in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is found right here. God gets all the glory. Why? Because he's the only one who's worthy of all the glory. And so endure in your Christian faith by enduring in the truth. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was reading recently in the Voice of the Martyrs, it tells the story of a woman named Poonam. Poonam was a Hindu living in India who surrendered her life to Jesus Christ. She became a follower of Jesus. And when that happened, she was kicked out of her house by her husband. I can hardly imagine that. I'm sure you can't either. But the amazing story talks about how through her faithful prayer, through her everyday decisions to continue to follow Jesus despite the difficulty, her marriage was restored. This doesn't happen in the Hindu world. You don't hear of things like this. A husband kicked her out because she denied the faith that he believed. She gave her life to Jesus, and so she continued to follow Jesus. Despite being homeless, being kicked out of her home, she continued to follow Jesus, and God miraculously restored her marriage. She's been able to witness to her husband, witness to her children. Even in her husband and children still have yet to place their faith in Jesus Christ, but she continues to witness to them, and God has still restored her marriage with her husband. Which you go back and see an example at 1 Peter chapter 3. That's what she's doing. Poonam is pressing on. Why? Because she is depending on the Lord. The grace to endure in and by the truth of God's promises that are found in his word. And so she's able to do that. Not because she herself is strong, because she believes and trusts the only one who is. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you will wait for Jesus' return with growing hope and faith. How are you doing with this? Are you relying on the truth of God's word to press on? Are you trusting in his promises? What steps, I want you to think this morning, what steps can you take to be more intentional about doing that, about trusting God's promises, about living according to God's promises? What steps can you take for that? Please realize none of this is possible apart from God's grace. And we don't experience God's grace, his saving grace, the grace to endure until you surrender your life to him. He created you to be in a right relationship with him, and he's not the one who messed up. Remember, God, as we've read about the last few days in family groups, the last couple weeks, God's creation is perfect. God is not the one who messed up. And so when we look at the world around us, the Bible tells us that we all, and our experience confirms this, right? All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard, fallen short of God's glory. Hell is what we all deserve. You see, the world is a broken mess. It's a disaster. Everywhere is a disaster. Why? Because of our sin. It's on us, and we have no chance to endure the brokenness of this world on our own. We can't do it. But praise God that he loves us so much that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, to rescue us from sin, to rescue us from the death that comes as a result of sin, the eternal death. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death for all of eternity. And so now everyone who turns away from sin, the Bible calls it repentance. When we turn away from sin and we turn to Christ, we trust in him alone to save us. We trust in his sacrifice. We trust in his resurrection. Then we'll live forever. But we have to make that decision to trust in Christ. Remember, that's why he hasn't returned yet. Because there are perhaps people in this room this morning that haven't yet trusted in Jesus. And he hasn't returned because of you. He wants you to turn to him. He wants you to experience this grace, this incredible love that was seen in and through his death on the cross for your sins and his resurrection from the dead for your salvation. And so by trusting in Jesus alone to save you, your relationship with God will be restored as God intended it to be. To have that right relationship with him. You'll have the promise of eternal life, but also he will be at work in your life now. He'll give you that grace to endure. You might say, well, you know what? I've got so many issues going on. I've got to fix this. No, you can't. None of us is strong enough to fix our problems. It's simply humbly surrendering ourselves to him. And then he'll give you the grace to beat this and to get past this and to strive through that. And to endure through that, God will give you the grace that you need to endure. And so are you experiencing that grace? And what are you doing to help others experience that grace? To understand that grace, to make sure that they see that grace in your life and hear from your lips where that grace comes from. That this is what Jesus has done for me. And I so badly want you to experience this grace. What can you do? What will you do for this to be a reality for you this morning? Father God, please help us to consider your grace. But that we trust in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our salvation, and that we plead with others, that we love others, that we serve others, that we lovingly tell others that today is the day of salvation. Be reconciled to God. Father, none of us in this room is any better than anyone else. We're all sinners. We all fall short. We all need help. We all need your grace. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would help all of us to trust you, to depend on you. Help us to desire to follow you. I pray for those here this morning who haven't yet said yes to you, who haven't yet asked you to forgive them of their sins, to take over their lives, to make them new, to change their hearts, to fix their hearts, to fix their lives. Please, Lord, I pray that they would not be content to leave this room this morning until they're reconciled with you, so that they could experience that peace that only you can give, that hope that lasts forever. Father, give us a love for one another that we would not be content to walk in bitterness, in unforgiveness, in resentment. Father, that we would desire to have a right relationship with you first and foremost, knowing that we're all sinners and we need you to save us and change us and forgive us, but Father, also that we would desire to be in a right relationship with our church, to love and serve those around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.